Jordan, so near banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You're about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jody Apple on International Gospel Hour, starting now.
Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one-chapter per week, 260-week, five-year-long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number one of week number 34, studying Mark chapter 6. As we begin today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You can also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. These online courses are self-paced. Go as fast or as slow as you want. And like everything at International Gospel Hour, they are available to you absolutely free. Visit igh.worldbibleschool.org or follow the links at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Here are 10 free resources that you might want to check out at our free page. First, John William McGarvey's Sermon on Baptism. More than 30,000 people have already seen that lesson online at our Facebook pages. Second, the 6-lesson audio series, The Beatitudes, The First Thing That Jesus Taught. Third, the ebook, Receiving the Gift of Salvation. This book teaches not only that God gives us salvation, but it also teaches us just how and why God does so. Fourth, the ebook, Surrendering to His Lordship, a book that focuses on Christ's authority. Fifth, the ebook, Victory in Jesus, In Times of Hopelessness, the Earnest Expectation of Spiritual Victory Through Jesus Keeps Us Going. Sixth, links to all of our online courses. Seventh, a 6-lesson audio series, The Big Questions. It studies big questions about God, the Bible, Christ, faith, redemption, and the Christian life. Eighth, the video class, Spiritual People Worship God. Ninth, daily Bible reading schedules. And then finally, 10th, a 6-lesson online video series, Christ Obeyed, What About Me? Invest some serious Bible study time and watch this series. Sometimes we think something like this, I don't have to do anything to be saved. Jesus, after all, did it all. Yes, that's true. It's impossible for us to do anything that earns, that merits our salvation. But that does not mean that we do not have to lovingly, willfully, completely, faithfully, and joyfully surrender to Jesus as Lord. Hebrews 5:9 teaches that Christ became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Obey Him? That sounds like legalism to me, a works-oriented salvation. Really? If that's what you think, then you owe it to yourself to invest time to study this series. It emphasizes our need to surrender to Jesus, but it never pushes a human merit or a works-oriented salvation. To learn more, check out that series. All of the slides used during the course of the series are also available for free download. Again, all of these resources are available 24/7 at our free page. Just go to internationalgospelhour.com/free and follow the links. And finally, before we begin, join the thousands who keep up with International Gospel Hour and visit facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's start our study of the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Here are the two ways that we summarize each new chapter of the Gospel records. First, we usually start by summarizing some of the key words that we find in each chapter. And then second, we summarize, that is, we outline the key thoughts presented in each chapter. The first summary will give us an idea of some of the general teaching that we will encounter as we read, think, and study our way through the text. The second summary will provide more detail than our brief word studies, but nowhere near what we will find as we later engage in a verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark chapter 6. We begin that verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study after we conclude these first two summaries. Here's what we can learn from the key word studies of Mark chapter 6. The chapter's 56 verses have 302 unique terms among its 981 total words in the original text. The top four appearing words near the top of almost every chapter that we study are as follows. The word translated as the, who, which, 121 times in Mark 6. The word translated as and, also, even, and yet, but, 116 times in the chapter. The word translated as he, she, it, self, same, or they, 80 times in the chapter. And, in fourth place, the word translated as to say, speak, tell, 19 times in Mark chapter 6. These four terms collectively appear 336 times of the 981 words, or just over 34% of the total. We will not go into any details about the top three terms, but let's take a few moments to look at the fourth one, the term rendered as to say, speak, tell. In Mark 6:2, those who heard Jesus in the synagogue were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things?" In 6:4, Jesus responded and said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." The term appears in 6:10, where Jesus spoke to the disciples about the limited commission. The term appears four times in the context of Mark 6, verses 14 through 16, as different ones said who they thought Jesus was. In 6:18, it appears reflecting what John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." It appears another four times in the conversations between Herod and his stepdaughter at the celebration, and then between his stepdaughter and her mother regarding Herod's oath and the latter's request. We see it twice in Jesus' conversation with the disciples about getting away to a deserted place, chapter 6, verse 31, and again in verse 35. The term shows up another four times in two verses as Jesus spoke with the disciples before feeding the multitude, chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. And finally, it appears as Jesus, walking on the sea, said to them, the apostles, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." There's nothing earth-shattering here. We see the term in the everyday conversation between all of the parties involved, including those in attendance in the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus, his disciples, Herod, his stepdaughter, Herodias, and others. The term translated as into or to, a preposition, appears 17 times in Mark 6. As in our prior studies, we see that this word was often used to indicate location and place. To his country, verse 1. In their money belts, verse 8. Enter, the word into implied, enter into a house, verse 10. To a deserted place, verse 31. The word rendered as to be or exist appears 14 times in Mark 6. This word, a state of being term, was used to either affirm some specific reality or to ask questions about, that is, to challenge some state or alleged state of reality. The Nazareth synagogue attendees asked, "Is this not the carpenter?" as if to indicate that Jesus could be nothing more than just a carpenter. The reality of who Jesus was, of who they thought he was, could be nothing greater, not in their eyes anyway. That mindset appears a second time in the question, "Are not his sisters here with us?" The term appears several times in the questions and in the claims about Jesus' identity in the following verses. "A prophet is not without honor," verse 4. "It is Elijah," verse 15. It identifies the situation and life of many in Jesus' audience. They were like sheep, verse 34. The hearts of the disciples was hardened, verse 52. Though not a preposition like the prior term, it also identifies the reality of place and location. "This is a deserted place," verse 35. "The boat was in the middle of the sea," verse 47. "The wind was against them," verse 48. The preposition translated as in, with, or by appears 14 times in Mark 6. Like the previous word that we looked at two terms back, it also indicates place and location. "In the synagogue," verse 2. "In his own country," verse 4. "In his own house," and so forth. The term translated as much or many or more appears 11 times. "Many heard," verse 2. "Many demons were cast out," verse 13. "Many were anointed with oil," verse 13. "Herod did many things," verse 20. "There were many coming and going," verse 31. "Many knew Jesus and where Jesus was going," verse 33. "And great multitude," verse 34. The word translated as give or to give 10 times. The synagogue audience wanted to know where Jesus got the wisdom given to him, verse 2. Jesus gave them, the disciples, power over unclean spirits, verse 7. Twice Herod pledged to give whatever Herodias' daughter requested, verse 22 and verse 23. She asked that the head of John be given to her, verse 25. It was given to her, and she gave it to her mother, verse 28. Jesus told the apostles to give the multitudes something to eat, verse 37, twice, and again in verse 41. Other frequently occurring terms with little or no comment. The term translated as but, and, or now, 9 times, a conjunction, but also a point of contrast term. The word translated as you or you people when plural, 9 times, a personal pronoun used when addressing or speaking about someone. The word translated as to hear, to heed, to obey, 8 times. The audience in the synagogue heard Jesus, verse 2. The apostles on their mission were heard by the people they preached to, verse 11. Herod heard about the things that Jesus did, verse 14 and verse 16. Herod heard John's message, verse 20, twice in that verse. The disciples heard about John's death, verse 29. The people followed Jesus when they heard where he was, verse 55. The term translated as for, since, then, or indeed, 8 times. A coordinating conjunction, and a term of explanation. The negative term not or no, 8 times in the chapter, the word translated as bread or loaf 7 times in Mark 6. The word translated as to become, be born, or be created 7 times. The term translated as Herod 7 times, as John 7 times, as to eat 6 times, as to see, view, or perceive 6 times, as king 5 times. One of Mark's favorite words, immediately, next, or suddenly, 5 times, the term for disciple, 5 times, and finally, the term for boat or ship, 5 times. We say this, or something like it, just about every time that we end our overview of the most frequently occurring terms in any given chapter. Remember these two things, the importance of studying words as they appear in a given context, and the limitation of studying words as they appear in a given context. We cannot, by studying words in isolation, that is, by themselves, fully learn their meaning and their import, and with no further effort, know everything that can be known about a given context. We can, though, study those words in an integrative or an associative way, words as they are connected, and thus words as they relate to other words, and in doing so, gain a healthy understanding of their meaning and the general, if not the specific, intent of a passage. To some extent, a very limited extent, we have not just looked here at simple gloss definitions of words by themselves, though we have not looked at every lexical tool possible, and though we have not studied everything that could be studied about any given word's meaning, we have provided some perspective about how the words that we mentioned were used in Mark chapter 6. Note the use of the word some. Some perspective. That's definitely a limited point of view. But as we continue to do this from chapter to chapter, we see a pattern emerging of how certain words are used across Mark, across the Gospels, and across the New Testament. Just remember that our key word studies are only, emphasis on the word only, they are only part of how we read, how we study, and how we learn from God's revelation. Remember also that there are 302 unique words in the original text, most of which we did not mention. The point, there's much more to considering the meaning of a passage than looking at a few frequently occurring terms just in passing. Let's now introduce our brief outline of the chapter. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. Mark 6, 14 through 29, the fame of Jesus, the death of John the Baptizer. Verses 30 through 32 of Mark 6, Jesus and the disciples, a private moment alone. Verses 33 through 44 of Mark 6, Jesus feeds the multitudes. Verses 45 through 52 of Mark 6, Jesus and the apostles, another miracle on the Sea of Galilee. And finally, Mark 6, 53 through 56, Jesus in the land of Gennesaret, many people made well. And now, let's consider our expanded outline of the chapter. Mark 6, verses 1 through 6, Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth. Verses 1 through 3, Jesus left the home of Jairus, where we found him in Mark 5, and Jesus traveled to Nazareth. Verse 1, Jesus left the home of Jairus. Jesus came to his own country, which would have been the village of Nazareth and its surrounding area. Jesus' disciples followed him on this journey. Verse 2, on the Sabbath day, Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus began to teach in the synagogue in Nazareth. What Jesus said on that occasion astonished those who were in attendance. They wanted to know three things. Where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which is given to him? How can he do such mighty works performed by his hands? Verse 3, they thought that they knew who Jesus was. Wasn't he the carpenter? Wasn't he the son of Mary? Wasn't he the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Do we not know who his sisters are? The text tells us that those who heard him in the synagogue that day were offended at him. Chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, Jesus' response to his critics, the consequences of unbelief. Verse 4, Jesus to his critics, a prophet does not receive honor in his own country, from his own relatives, or in his own house. Verse 5, the consequences of unbelief. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus could not do any mighty works in Nazareth, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Jesus marveled because of the unbelief of the people in Nazareth. Verse 6, Jesus did not remain in Nazareth, but went about the villages, evidently in the area of Nazareth, in a circuit, teaching as he went. Mark 6, 7-13, Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, the limited commission. Verses 7-9, the limited commission preparation necessities. Verse 7, Jesus called the 12, referring to the number of the apostles, he called them to himself. Jesus sent them out two at a time, meaning that he sent them out to travel in pairs of two. Jesus gave them miraculous ability over unclean spirits, over demons. Verse 8, Jesus told them not to take anything with them except the staff. They were not to take a bag. They were not to take bread. They were not to take copper in their money belts. They were to wear sandals. They were not to wear two tunics. In chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, we see the limited commission message. Verse 10, Jesus told them wherever they went that they were to stay in the houses that they entered until they left that place. Verse 11, Jesus said, if there are those who will not receive you or hear you, when you leave them, shake the dust from your feet. That serves as a testimony against them. Jesus said that in the day of judgment, it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than the people in that village. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 6, the limited commission results. Verse 12, the disciples went out as Jesus instructed, and they preached that the people should repent. Verse 13, the disciples also cast out many demons. They anointed with oil those who were sick, and they healed them. In Mark 6, verses 14 through 29, the fame of Jesus, the death of John. In verses 14 through 18 of chapter 6, Herod and Herodias, Herod and John, Herod and Jesus. In verse 14, Herod the king heard about the works that Jesus was doing. That was because Jesus' fame had spread, and he had become well known. Herod assumed that Jesus was the resurrected John, John the Baptizer, and that the miracles that Jesus did, he was performing as the resurrected John. Verse 15, others, rather than thinking that Jesus was the resurrected John, said that Jesus was Elijah, that Jesus was the prophet, or that Jesus was like one of the prophets. Verse 16, Herod, however, continued to maintain that Jesus was John, the John that Herod had beheaded, the John that he assumed had been raised from the dead. Verse 17, Herod's reasoning was as follows. Herod had called John to himself. He laid hold of John, meaning, in effect, that he had John arrested, and Herod had John thrown into prison. Herod had done so for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he, Herod, had married her. Verse 18, why did Herod have John imprisoned for the sake of Herodias? He did so because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Mark 6, 19 and 20, Herodias and John. Verse 19, Herodias was not pleased that John told Herod that he, Herod, had no right to have taken his brother's wife. She held that against John. She wanted to kill John, or at least to have John killed, but she was not able to do so. Verse 20, Herod was afraid of John. Herod knew that John was just. Herod knew that John was holy, and so Herod protected John. When Herod heard John, he did many things, evidently for John, and Herod heard John gladly. in verses 21 and 23 of Mark chapter 6, Herod's birthday, part 1. Verse 21, the text tells us that on Herod's birthday, an opportune day came. Herod gave a feast. He invited his nobles, officers, and prominent men from Galilee. Verse 22, Herodias' daughter was present, evidently as the entertainment at this celebration. She danced before Herod and his guests, and Herod and his guests were pleased. Herod told her, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." Verse 23, Herod also pledged, Herod swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." Verses 24 and 25, Herod's birthday, part 2. Verse 24, Herodias' daughter left the celebration. She went to her mother, and she said, "What shall I ask?" Her mother told her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. Verse 25, Herodias' daughter returned to the celebration, and she told King Herod her request, actually her mother's request. "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 6. These reminders as we close. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope first that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.